Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode 11 Light Outdoors. On the mic with you. It's Tuesday. We are kicking through this week already. So actually, I'm headed eastbound tomorrow. I'll be on the road for a little while. Headed up by Jasper, Missouri to our friends, the Dockery. He's going to work in the shop up there on a little hail job and try to work a little bit anyway, see what I can accomplish for them, and spend a couple of days up there, and then I'll be back, headed back this direction. Ron and I spent a little time in the garden this morning trying to get a bunch of our plants in the dirt, and boy, that's been a fiasco with the wind and all the storms and everything, so we're working at it. I want to share a message with you today that I actually put this together quite some time ago. It kind of comes out of our story time that I do on Saturday nights. I'd read a book called A White Stone. A friend of mine had wrote that book back in the late 90s. I got acquainted with it. I met this guy in 97 when I moved into Durango, Colorado to be a youth pastor. And basically where this message comes from are the thoughts from the author himself. These are just kind of in the back of the book, just his thoughts as he compiled all this information for this book. The book itself, very powerful. It's called A White Stone. If you follow along on our story time on Saturday nights, you got to hear all of this. It's such a powerful story, written in fictional format, but yet it literally is portrayal of today. More so even than when he wrote it, it fits today to a T. So many things lining up with that. I've shared the book with many people, and they all kind of agree of how unique that it comes together with pointing out today's things. I titled what I wrote or put together out of his notes is Let Them See Jesus. So I want to share, this is thoughts from the author of A White Stone. To those of you who have said you will serve God, but find that your life is relatively ineffective, I ask you this. How does your Christian life compare to the Christian life of the first century church? Better still, how does your life compare to the life that Jesus exhibited to a world that was perishing in its sin? 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, the Amplified Version states, whoever says that he abides in him ought, as a personal debt, to walk and conduct himself in the same way in which he walked and conducted himself, he being Jesus. A study of the Word of God as it is written, not as it's interpreted by 20th century Christians who haven't beheld the glory of God in their own lives, rings with the truth of that a life of a true follower of Jesus Christ is to be lived in the same way that he lived, totally dead to self and living only for the Lord. Now I want you to stop and truly ponder that concept. As you read it, let the Word of God overcome the teachings of man's centered, self-centered gospel. Don't let the words themselves be nullified in their impact because of the loose usage and weak understanding that have been applied to those words. Let the Holy Spirit quicken you to the truth of what is required of you if you claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ. The time has come to put an end to self-centered, self-serving attitude that has permeated and nullified the gospel of Jesus Christ in this land. There is no power to overcome because we do not have the presence, the real Shekinah glory of God in our lives. We've been talking much about God's presence lately. Spiritual warfare and different things. We lack this glory because his presence will not reside in dirty vessels. The dirt of self, the filth of the world, the stench of pride, and much, much more is all that is being exhibited to the perishing. And none of that will bring people to reconciliation with God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 through 21. I'll read this passage of Scripture with you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with verse 9. Therefore, remember, because of this, whether we're at home on earth or away from home and with him, it is our constant ambition to be pleasing to him. For we believers will be called to account and must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be repaid for what has been done in the body, whether good or bad. That is, each will be held responsible for his actions, his purposes, goals, motives, the use or misuse of his time, opportunities, and abilities. Therefore, again, because of this, since we know the fear of the Lord and understand the importance of obedience and worship, We persuade people to be reconciled to him. But we are plainly known to God. He knows everything about us. And I hope that we are plainly known also in your conscience, your God-given discernment. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but are giving you an occasion to be rightfully proud of us, so that you will have an answer for those who take pride in outward appearances, the virtues they pretend to have, rather than what is actually in heart. If we are out of our mind, just unstable fanatics, as some critics say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for your benefit. For the love of Christ controls and compels us, because we have concluded this, that one who died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, so that all those who live would no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for their sake. So from now on, regard now no one from a human point of view, according to worldly standards and values. Though we have known Christ from a human point of view, now we no longer know him in this way. Therefore, because of this, if anyone is in Christ, that is, grafted in, joined by him by faith in him as Savior, he is a new creature, reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. The old things, the previous moral and spiritual condition, have passed away. Behold, new things have come, because spiritual awakening brings a new life. But all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, making us acceptable to him, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, so that by our example we might bring others to him. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting people's sins against them, but canceling them. And he was committed to us the message of reconciliation, that is, restoration to favor with God. Verse 20 goes on to say, so we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making his appeal through us. We, as Christ's representatives, plead with you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. He made Christ, who knew no sin, to judicially be sin on our behalf, so that in him we would become the righteousness of God. That is, that we would be made acceptable to him and placed in a right relationship with him in gracious loving kindness. The above verses leave little room for discussion as to what our purpose on this earth truly is after we've received the salvation through Jesus Christ. Once we have received Christ and made him Lord, our purpose is to lay down our lives, to become like him in thought, to become like him in word, and to become like him in deed, to see others as he saw them, and then to exhibit that life of love before them so that they might see Jesus in us and be reconciled to the Father. In other words, we must allow him to live his life through us. Any other gospel is the distorted gospel of man. The other gospel of good works leads to a life of salt that has lost its saltiness, to be trampled underfoot by men. It will not and cannot change men's hearts, because the life-changing Spirit of God is not in it. So I ask you today, where do you stand? Who do people see when they see your life on a daily basis? Do they see the Jesus of the Bible? They should, or else you are not really following Christ as you say you are. How do you perceive those who have not met Jesus Christ as Lord of their lives? Are they enemies? Is the salvation of their soul your deepest care, your only reason for being alive? It was for Jesus. He mingled with, and then he died for, the worst of sinners. His love for those who cursed him, rejected him, and then crucified him was so great that he even pleaded with his Father for them as he hung on the cross. Luke chapter 23, verse 34 records, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's the passionate kind of love that he has been given to you and me. Do you have any choice but to give that same love to your neighbor, the abortionist, the pornographer, the homosexual? If you want to become emotional over an issue, ask God to show you the reality of hell and the eternal fate of those who are going there. If you want to become militant about anything, get militant in prayer for a church body that would rather talk about God than meet with God and become like Jesus. If you realize that you are not really living the life that God desires you to live, one that is totally dead to your own desires, your own needs, and your own way of doing things, that you are not alive only to Jesus so that others might see Him in your life, then you need to repent. Recommit every area of your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and start to live your life as His life, His ways, His thoughts, and His desires. Do it now, for time is very short and many need to see Jesus in your life. That's where I'm seeking the Lord to take me. You and I may be the only opportunity someone will have to recognize Him. What Savior will others see in you? The Jesus of the Bible? Or will they see angry, sin-laden, condescending hypocrites with no compassion for them or for others? Lord, help us. And He will. Joshua chapter 24:15 says this, "Choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Jim Corbett is the author of the book, A White Stone. Again, a gentleman that I met while in Durango, Colorado, youth pastoring. We took his book, A White Stone, into a playwright, actually performed a play to the majority of this book. It was so cool, such a unique thing. God opens the eyes of the blind in the midst of these types of things. And what Jim's talking about here is he's calling us out. We claim to be Christians. I mean, that's the morality of it all today. We lay claim to the fact that, well, yeah, we go to church, most of us, at least on Sunday morning. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's all we do. But throughout the rest of the time, what is our role? What is our calling? To go into all the world and lead people to Jesus Christ. We are all called to that. Not just the pastors of our churches, not just our youth pastors, not just evangelists, not just missionaries, but all. All are called to go into all the world and lead people to Jesus. And we do so by living a life for Christ in our own life that others can see. By doing that, we become a city on a hill. We become a light shining in a dark place. It's by our lifestyle and the spoken word that comes from us, our knowledge of who Jesus is, our story of redemption, our very story of what God brought us out of when He brought us out of darkness into light, and He transformed our life. He redeemed us by the blood of the Lamb, and now we walk with Him. And our whole role from here on out is to seek out that which is lost so they may be found before it's too late. We're in our last days. I believe that beyond a shadow of a doubt. I see the prophetic has been being fulfilled constantly right in front of our eyes. Again, this book was written in 1997, and the impact that it has and the projection that it has on us today here in 2024 is unreal. It's unprecedented. And I believe that it's God pouring out right now, trying to shake this generation. Matter of fact, the Bible says everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And I believe that's what's happening. There's a shaking going on within the church. We're seeing things shaken apart inside the church. We're seeing these false teachings begin to fall apart and have negative impact that's becoming well known. And in the process of that, there's false prophets rising up. There's false word. There's false teaching. Everything that the Bible talks about is being revealed to us right now. That the darkness is being exposed. Light is being shined. And God is calling us to a higher place. If we're not living according to His word, if all we're doing is living a life carrying a label that calls us a Christian, but we look like the world, we're in trouble. And He's calling us out. He's given us an opportunity to solve that problem today and become who He's calling us to be in these last days. Will you join us? Will you fight the fight? Listen, nobody in here is perfect. There's nobody that's arrived anywhere. I haven't arrived anywhere. I won't arrive anywhere until I stand before the Lord and He tells me the words I so desperately want to hear. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into my rest. Will you be there with me? I challenge you today. Overlook your life. Look deep into your heart. Ask God to show you the areas of your life that are not pleasing to Him and correct those things. Surrender yourself once again to His love and His power and His mercy and allow Him to overflow in you through the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit's power becomes so strong in you that you literally light up a room when you walk in, that people recognize that you've been with Jesus. I love that story the guys that had been arrested in Axe. I'm not going to say their names. I'm going to mess it up. But they'd been arrested in Axe, and here these religious leaders were looking at them and listening to them talk, and they said, it's obvious these men have been with Jesus. They're unschooled people, but they've been with Jesus. Why did they say that? Because they could see Jesus in them. They could see the reflection of Jesus in everything that they did and said, that's where we need to be today. So I challenge you, search your heart, search your life. Begin to seek the Lord in a way that maybe you haven't sought in a long time. Get on your knees before Him. Repent if necessary. Draw close to Him and ask Him to fill you to the place of overflow, that everything you have with your life has an effect on everyone you encounter. Amen. God bless you guys. Rhonda and I love you. We thank you so much for following on our podcast and walking with us on this journey, praying with us. Thank you for your support financially. Thank you for your prayers. God bless you. We will talk to you again real soon.